This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott.
And you put in a lot.
If a society is best judged on how it treats its neediest citizens, then we might look at the annual United States budget as a stipulation of our government's moral intent. In fact, California Congresswoman and co-chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Barbara Lee, calls the budget a moral document because it speaks to our priorities. So let visions of pie charts dance in your head as we look at last year's budget numbers. In 2004, the Department of Defense was allocated $436 billion. And everything else, I mean everything else, all non-Department of Defense items, $459 billion. That pie is pretty much split in half, one half going to war and defense, and the other half covering any and all other human needs. Hurricanes Katrina and Rita destroyed more than 284,000 homes, shut down more than 70,000 businesses, and shredded the region's tax base. But for the first time since 1968, the nation's flood insurance program has run out of money. A plan to save the government nearly $50 billion just passed in the House with a vote of 217 to 215 that will squeeze funds from programs aiding the poor, college students and farmers. The cuts cover food stamps, Medicaid, and student lunch programs. But hey, big oil's doing good. ExxonMobil's net earnings last quarter were $10 billion. And I mention that because Exxon and the other oil giants are sharing a $4 billion tax break. Going back to the old pie chart, those statistics should bother us because when all corporate tax breaks are said and done, only 10% of government revenue comes from big business, while 43% comes from you and me. Again, where the money comes from and what we decide to spend it on says a lot about our values. Our budget shows our intent. If our priorities seem a bit morally askew, some wonder if that would change any if more women occupied positions of power. Women make up only 15% of our congressional representation, and so the United States ranks number 67 in the world for countries assimilating women in decision-making positions. Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Jane Midgley, author of Women and the U.S. Budget, Where the Money Goes and What You Can Do About It.
Thank you for speaking with Voices of Our World.
Thanks so much for having me.
In your foreword by Congressman Barbara Lee, she says that budgets are moral documents. So give us an example of how budgets are moral documents.
So, for instance, Congress is literally figuring out how they're going to use the fiscal year 2006 budget to deeply cut some very, very important programs for people in this country. And to me, this is not just about dollars and cents. It's about spirit and vision. And really, the budget has life and death consequences. For instance, we're now spending $220 million a day on the Iraq war. And it looks like, although tens of thousands of people are protesting this, but it looks like they are going to cut tens of billions of dollars from the Medicaid program over the next, say, 3 years. And I don't have to remind anybody that we just had a terrible, devastating situation with these hurricanes in the Gulf. And there were, to give you an example, 900,000 single mothers already in the Gulf before these devastating storms, who the only way they're going to get health insurance, because single mothers tend to live in poverty, is through this really great Medicaid program that is very much needed. So now we need the Medicaid program even more because a lot of people would have lost their ability to purchase health insurance as a result of the storm. But the conservative Republican leadership in the Congress is using that tragedy to say, well, we had to give grants and aid to the people in that region. So to make up for that and not add more to the deficit, we're going to cut the Medicaid program. And I think this is a great tragedy for our country.
you structure the book in three different ways. How money comes in. So tell us a little bit about how money comes into the government.
Well, there's several streams. One stream is the money that comes from corporations. And interestingly, this used to be the mainstream to the government. And that's one of the ways that things have been changed in terms of the income side of the budget over the years. It has shifted now. Corporations give much, much less of the percentage of the income than they used to. And one of the main ways that the deficit has been increased is through these tax breaks and tax reductions on corporations, and also the tax reductions on the wealthy. And when there is an emergency in the country, we need to have everything on the table, especially looking at these huge tax breaks. But what's really happening is they are talking about making permanent these gigantic tax cuts that the Bush administration rammed through when they came in. So we really need to look at raising the corporate tax, because we have a situation now where some corporations like IBM are paying no taxes, and in some cases, they're actually getting refunds.
Let's look at some of the discretionary spending, meaning those things that we have options on spending our money on. And you have two categories. One is the Department of Defense, and then you have the non-Department of Defense spending. Please describe both.
Yes, and I think that's a reflection of the values framework of this budget, because all of the discretionary spending that isn't military is called non-DOD.
Non-military spending.
Yeah, so that's really the framework in which they're thinking. Yes, the discretionary income is over 50% of this is the military, and that includes the funding in recent years for the Homeland Security, which we see how greatly effective that has been in recent national crises. But that's getting over $40 billion a year.
And the military, when you look at that chart, the military spending is just completely overshadows any other kind of, it's just so far beyond. It's almost like if we put all the other budgetary items together, we would reach the level of the military spending that we do in this country.
Right. And as far as understanding what's been happening the last couple of years, we have been spending these very high levels of military spending with some fluctuations really since World War II. So we have had trillions of dollars that have been invested in the military sector, most of which goes to military corporations, essentially subsidies, subsidizing high profit rates, and building unnecessary weapons. That's still the bulk of the military budget. So we've been spending this all this time, and then when a war starts, like the Iraq War, the president comes to Congress and says, we need an emergency appropriations to pay for the war. Well, what has this military budget been for if it's not to prepare to fight a war? So not only have taxpayers been footing this bill that's mostly going to corporations, we now have had to put extra money through emergency appropriations to pay for the war. And my congressperson, Representative Capuano, actually protested this method of paying for the war because it's completely erroneous. The emergency after the hurricanes, it's appropriate to do an emergency appropriation. It's outside of the regular budget process. But a war that was planned for, as it turns out, for years and very expensive should be coming out of the military budget. But that's the kind of manipulation that is going on that I think women really need to be aware of. And I suspect that women would draw these priorities in the discretionary budget very, very differently.
And just to kind of give people an idea of what $1 trillion is, you have a lovely, another one of these private investigator pointers that says that our budget in the fiscal year 2004, the government took in $1.8 trillion. And you define it as basically you would have to spend over $5 million a day, every single day for a year in order to spend $1.8 trillion. So that's just to give people an idea of how much money is really involved.
Right. And one other point I want to make here, too. I compare some of this accounting that goes on in the budget with the Enron scandal because, you know, they had one of the great accounting firms in the world helping them with the accounting. But the accounting was really serving these very warped values that they had at this company. And really the same thing is happening in the U.S. budget. We don't even have, if you can believe this in terms of stewarding our resources, we don't even have a full accounting of the government. They have not been able to do a complete audit of the U.S. government because we don't really know how much the military has in their accounts and how much they have spent. And Congress has not been able to get them to tell them. And there's, I think the military has something like 4,000 different accounting systems. So we have a crisis. We don't even know how much money is in the military. And really, if it's not spent, it should be rescinded back to the general fund. And I think this is a travesty. And that's just another example of we do not have proper stewardship of our national resources. And once again, I think, you know, women handle their household budgets all the time with incredible efficiency and making very difficult decisions. I really think those same principles, if everything's on the table, as I said, I think it always needs to be, that we could make some good choices of how to use this incredible abundance that we find ourselves in, and that to feel scarcity in the midst of this abundance for anyone to not be taken care of in this country. It's a tragedy and it's a moral crisis for all of us.
I always wonder, what would our country look like if we didn't spend 50% of its assets on the military? What could we do then?
Well, we have a gigantic impact on the rest of the world. And part of the vision is, what do we want to be investing in internationally with this incredible abundance that we have here to make sure, once again, that we have a healthy global economy that's not based on warfare, that would begin to shift all of this. But we've got to get our voices and our presence at the table. And one other thing about that is I had Representative Barbara Lee write the foreword to my book, partly because I think we need to really thank our incredible leaders in Congress who are speaking out for these values. And that is one of the things we can do. And there are some fabulous people there that we can really get behind.
Jane Midgley, thank you so much for coming to Voices of Our World. Everybody should go and get this book. It's called Women and the U.S. Budget, Where the Money Goes and What You Can Do About It. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Should anyone be allowed to profit from war? Email us. Go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Sarah Anderson and Jane Midgley are just two of the voices of our world. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. You heard music today by The Frames. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org. You can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, and answer our weekly question. Check it out, www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or to try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please, join us next time for more Voices of Our World.